Dog Pound, don't miss the Backer Bash this Saturday, October 25th in Brownstown at First Energy Stadium from 5 to 7. Meet Swagger, Browns alumni Bob Golic, plus a Junior Backers Halloween costume party. The bash is free and open to the public. Visit fans.clevelandbrowns.com. That's fans.clevelandbrowns.com for more information. We will see you there. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm back with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Time to dip into the mailbag. But before we do that, I'm going to dip into the real mailbag. We got one of our first pieces of fan mail here.
I love it.
Into the Dog Bowl in Berea. I was walking through and I saw this kind of clunky like envelope. And I'm like, what in the hooting is going on in there? So I opened it up and got a very nice note from one of our listeners, and he also included in there the old crow turkey locator call. It says, speak the language, sound exactly like a crow. So it is in here, and it's got a crow on it, and he says it'll be our sound for Isaiah Crowell, caw, which is my sound, but here it is. This is with the crow call itself. Are you guys ready for this? You ready? Here we go.
Ready.
So that is an official.
You are pretty close. I ain't going to lie.
I know. That's an official crow call. I think my crow call, though, caw-caw! I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit.
It's a little bit more movie-esque.
Mine?
Yours
mine?
Is? Yes. Yeah. That's a little bit more natural in the woods. Yours is a little Hollywood, and it's expected for you, Nathan.
It is. That's right. I'm so Hollywood. That's exactly what I look outside, and I'm not seeing the grayness of Cleveland. I'm seeing the Hollywood Hills and the Hollywood sign.
That's right.
But so back to our question, how are you going to attack the Raiders? Here's my answer. That's right. Give the ball to the crow. Two-back system, Crow and Tate. If you want to split the carries with them, that's fine. I believe personally that if Isaiah Crowell was getting 20-plus carries a game, he is a top-five rusher in the NFL. That's my belief. We did it from day one. I think he's top-five in the NFL. He could be chasing right after DeMarco Murray. He's that good. And this Oakland Raiders team is giving up 133 rush yards per game to running backs alone. That's most in the NFL. Running backs have gone for over 100 yards with a touchdown in 5 of the 6 games against them. They need to get back to pounding the rock, control the football. That sets up the play action, which this Browns team needs, I think, to really be an effective passing game. And when you say, why the crow? You've been talking about this guy since rookie minicamp. Enough. This is why. Isaiah Crowell has received 51 carries this year. 6 of those runs have gone for 15 or more yards. Ben Tate and Terrence West have received a combined 128 carries. 6 of those runs have gone for 15 yards or more. So he's got less than half of the carries, and he's got the same number of runs of 15 or more yards. He's just explosive and dangerous to me, and I think we need that danger. Now, he put the ball on the ground against Pittsburgh a couple times, so I don't like that kind of danger, but in terms of his ability to break big runs, I think he can do that. That's why I'm feeding the crow this week against the Raiders.
I agree with you, and I don't necessarily think it's this week, but I will let you know that I, too, believe that, you know, 20-plus carries to a guy like Crowell will get you 100 yards. And I think what it might take, and again, it might be this week, but he's not going to get 20 carries is my point. But I do think that when he gets 10, 12, or maybe even 14 carries, and he gets to that, you know, 80 yards and a touchdown, you know, 100 yards and a touchdown, meaning he breaks one of those.
Yes.
It will be a shift, because I still think that a healthy Ben Tate is our guy, and Crowell is probably, in my mind, one of the best compliments in the National Football League as a number two running back because of that explosive nature. And it's just a matter of time where he's given, you know, again, like I said, 10, 12, 14 carries, and he does serious work with it before we see a shift in that trend where Crowell will then get 16, 18, 20, and Tate gets 12 or 14 carries. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what we're talking about. All right, let's get into the mailbag here on Browns Daily. It is Mailbag Wednesday. We'll go through a couple things we hit on maybe other times during the week, but we'll go through them again. At KBon10 says, who do you think should be the key punt return man? Hashtag mailbag. Well, I'll tell you what. Nope, Matt Wilhelm over there wants nothing out of his punt returner other than catching the ball and falling forward. So he wants Jim Leonard. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. You're right.
I want to give Taylor Gabriel a shot. I want to see what he can do. I think he's explosive. He's got the speed. We've seen smaller punt returners have a lot of success this year. I remember you probably in your special teams days, if you guys overlapped, I'm sure you did, when he was in Kansas City, Dante Hall. You have to run after Dante Hall, the
God.
X Factor?
Boom. It was the worst.
Right. It was the worst. So what would you have said if you were on special teams for the Chargers and all you knew you had to do was go run down there after Jim Leonard?
But you know it was also the worst.
Can I ask you a question? No.
What?
Answer the question.
It stinks to have to chase a guy like Dante Hall and prepare for a guy like Dante
Hall. Would you be psyched, though, if you're in film study and you're like, all right, we just have to go run down there and get Jim Leonard? No offense to Jim Leonard. But
no, not at all.
You're going to be psyched about
that. No, but what really stinks is you as a defense doing your job, getting off the field, the other team punts, and you have a guy that muffs it on the 5-yard line and gives the ball right back to the offense that you just got off the field. And then in 1, 2, or maybe 3 plays, they score a touchdown. That stinks.
If only this was on TV right now, so you guys could see my reaction.
Get the boxing gloves out.
See my reaction.
Hey,
come on.
At least we're talking about punt returners.
Come on,
not Hoyer and Manziel.
Come on,
like everybody else in Cleveland.
Come on, man. So you're in a meeting. Okay, you're in San Diego. You're in a meeting, and you're saying you're watching one
film. Or Green Bay with Devin Hester.
Okay, right. So you're in those meetings, and you're like, oh, man, we got to get Devin Hester this week, or we got to get Dante Hall this week. Your thoughts are, this is scary. Then you go the next week, and you're like, okay, we just have to go get Jim Leonard, who's going to catch the ball and probably for catch it. You're not even – it's not even the same mindset. The fears are gone.
No, it's not. But I would say the punter on that football team has as big of a hand in stopping a punt returner, i.e. Dante Hall, i.e. Devin Hester, i.e. Taylor Gabriel in this case. The punter has a big hand in controlling the placement and loft of that football, as does the coverage unit.
They do. All right, so there we go. Here's one. At Dentmaster says, why did Hoyer have so many batted balls? And he wanted to let the Bostonian know that he thought Brandon Whedon was not so good even when he had Alex Mack. He didn't say those words exactly, but that was what he thought. Why do you think there were so many batted balls? Because of the penetration and then guys were able – go ahead. You answer, and then I'll kind of get my
I do believe, and I think that the success in stopping the run only fueled the fire of that pass rush, meaning we saw the Jacksonville Jaguars play at or behind the line of scrimmage against the run game, which when we would play that play action pass or roll out or whatever, they were still continuing to get that push. They were staying in their lanes to protect versus the run and on into the transition of their pass rush, which kept our offensive line kind of reeling and backwards. There weren't some significant blitzes. There weren't some significant stunts or different fronts. They just flat out outplayed us. They flat out out-physicaled us, which put guys, when Hoyer has a pocket with a separation of 3 to 4 yards, guys were at 2 to 3 or 1 to 3 yards trying to make those throws in front of him. And I think they also did a great job of identifying Brian Hoyer in some cases, and I think everybody could see this, staring down a single read, which allows a defensive guy to kind of wait and wait and wait. And when he pulls the trigger, I'm just up with two bear paws knocking that ball down.
And I think that was what I was going to ask you about. Is that a symptom of sometimes maybe staring down
your
receiver?
It definitely is. The defensive line, we always talk about linebackers or safeties coming down and closing those windows in zone coverages. The defensive line has taught that too. Close those throwing windows by getting that push, creating or reducing that margin of separation from the quarterback to his offensive lineman. And then also too, they're taught to read. And when I was in San Francisco, they were taught, Coach Tomasula, who's now, I believe, a part defensive coordinator over co-defensive coordinator, used to teach those guys to just read the quarterback's eyes. And when he's about to pull that trigger, throw up a paw if you can get one free. Throw up both, like a volleyball spike, to knock that to the ground. And we saw that built-in frustration, especially at 3rd and 9, when the ball was going to have to sail, 10-plus yards in the air downfield, the frustration that set in that offensive line, and especially Brian Hoyer.
And the Browns actually apparently have some new dummies. We've seen some pitchers come in, a new contraption at practice. It's called the Duker. It's basically a helmet with two giant arms simulating a defensive lineman that you got to throw around and find your lanes, etc. there. All right, when we come back, that was good discussion. I know there are a lot of people on the phone lines, and we'll get to you at 2 o'clock. So stay with us until 2 o'clock. Michael Reguy will be in for me at that time, and we'll get to you. But right now, when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we will hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. That's up next on CBD.